Hallelujah. Great. Isn't that lovely? Well done, Keith. No one tells the notices like you do. It's a ministry in itself. Who wants to see a little movie? Anyone like to see a little movie? We've been doing the life of the Apostle Paul, and tonight, it is night in here, isn't it? This morning is the last one of his life, so I've got a little video clip to show you. So we'll drop the lights and show you this, and then I'll have a chat with you. Oh, is that gorgeous? Who loves the Apostle Paul? I'm looking forward to meeting him, are you? He's real, you know. He fought an awesome fight for Jesus, and he went to glory, and we'll be able to meet him and talk to him, go around his house, have a nice cup of tea with him. He'll appreciate that we're English. He'll get the tea out, and we can have a nice talk. It's going to be one of the good things about heaven, isn't it? Having no time restrictions to chat and fellowship with everyone and get to know everyone. Absolutely phenomenal. The whole body of Christ, all the Christians who've lived down through the ages. Paul said, I've fought a good fight. Here's what he wrote in the last letter that he wrote, 2 Timothy. Very moving letter, actually. In a lot of the other letters, Paul is, you know, he's really strong, and but in this letter, he's really soft and loving. Speaking to Timothy, his dear son, he says, I remember your tears. I've been thinking about the gifts that God's given you. I want to encourage you to keep fanning into flame the gift that God's given you, son. Paul's writing 2 Timothy from a Roman prison. Not the prison that you read about in the end of Acts of the Apostles. In the end of Acts of the Apostles, Paul's under house arrest for 2 years in Rome. And it's a nice house. And this is not that prison. This is a few years after that. This is AD 67. This is the year Peter and Paul both died in Rome. Nero is the emperor, who's absolutely insane and totally anti-Christian. He set fire to Rome and blamed the Christians. He's using Christians as human torches, lighting them in his gardens for his parties, and there's all-out persecution. There's no way they're going to be released in 67. And Paul's in prison. And because he was a Roman citizen, Paul was delivered from being tortured and burned and thrown to the lions. But he was beheaded just after that little bit. You'll have seen on the cartoon. They took him out of Rome on a famous road, the Austrian Way. And a little bit outside of Rome, there was some fir trees by the side of the road. They took him there and beheaded him. Peter wasn't a Roman citizen, didn't have that privilege. So they crucified Peter, bless him. And they were going to crucify him the normal way the Romans crucify people, which is hanging from a cross, you know, like Jesus, nailed through the hands and feet, the right way up. But Peter, bless him, said, I'm not worthy to die the way Jesus did. Hang me upside down. Oh, what a hero. Do me upside down. And they did him in Rome upside down, which actually would have helped him, actually, because he would have died quicker. Wise move. And he died in Rome there, right under the place where they built the Vatican, under the altar in the Basilica of St. Peter, where they ended up building all the Vatican City and all that around it. Right there, Peter died. You know what? It's important how you die, isn't it? Do you think that's true? It's not where you start, it's where you finish. Join in if you know it. It's actually where you finish that matters, isn't it? It's not where you start. You see, you might have started life in having a hell of a life with drug addict parents and your dad in prison or never knowing your dad, and many, many people in this country start life like that. It's where you end that matters. You can have a hell of a life and have your life almost destroyed and wasted and wasted, but then meet Jesus Christ and have your life totally restored and win in the end. Our kids go to quite a nice school up in Nunthorpe. And you know, the kids are nice and the school's nice and the parents have money and things. But, you know, it doesn't save you from life. Loads of them are divorced a few times and dads and mums all over the place. But they have money, and you might start life in a good place. You know, you might start life where things are easy for you, your parents are together, maybe you're brought up in a Christian home. That's great. But it's where you end that actually matters. It's where you end your life. It's what you do with your life. It's not dying, looking back on your life full of regret. I wish I'd stuck with those piano lessons. I wish I'd stuck it out with my first wife, actually. I wish I'd seen more of my kids. I wish I'd done something for God. I wish I'd took more risks. Don't let your life go that way, brothers and sisters. Take this day, right now, today. Give everything to God. The lock, stock and barrel of who you are. All your fears and trouble and everything. Put your life in the hands of Jesus, like Paul did when he got in that basket. And determine from this day, you're going to seek God till you find him. And then you're going to serve him. And then you'll have an awesome life. It's not easy following Jesus, but it's the best life. And when you finish this life, you won't die in regret. You'll know where you're going, like Paul did. He said, I know whom I've believed in. He didn't say, I know what I've believed. He said, I know who I've believed, and I'm convinced that he is able to keep what I've entrusted to him for that day. He says in 2 Timothy, now there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness which the Lord will give me. It's absolutely awesome. Let me read you a little bit of this. He says, oh, I forgot my glasses again, have I? Can't see a thing. He says, has anyone got any reading glasses? Come forward, love, and we'll pray for you now. For healing for your eyes so I can have your glasses. Thanks. Thank you. From the pound shop, same as mine. Well done. Oh, thank you. She even polished them. God bless her. Thank you. These will be full of God's anointing now they've touched my head. You'll put them on and you'll just be instantly healed. Oh, thanks. He ends his letter to Timothy, writing from this Roman prison cell. Oh, I didn't tell you, did I, that was a hole in the ground. Roman prison cells were basically like a well without water in, with a lid on the top. And they'd drop you in this hole and leave you there. That's where the Apostle Paul was. That's why in this letter he says, try and get here before winter. Try and bring my coat, please. And bring those parchments. Still wanted to write letters, bless him. But he never got the chance to do all that. He says, in the presence of God, this is the last thing he wrote, and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and kingdom, I tell you, Timothy, preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct them, rebuke them, and encourage them all with great patience and careful instruction. For a time's coming when people won't put up with sound teaching. Instead, to suit their own desires, they'll get around themselves a whole number of teachers who say anything they want to hear. They'll turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, Timothy, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill all the duties of your ministry. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time of my departure is here. I have fought a good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Wow, what a way to end your life, to say things like that. When John Wesley died, the last thing he said was, the best of all is God with us. The last words Mother Teresa said were, Jesus, I love you. The last words Pope John Paul II said, he was a really spirit-filled pope, were, I'm ready to go to my Father's house. It's a fantastic thing to be able to die in God and say these things. Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I've finished the race. It's very interesting that, because earlier on he's saying things like, I've not yet achieved it. Didn't you say it this morning, Beck? Forgetting what lies behind. I'm still running. Now he says, no, I'm not running now, actually. I'm done. I've done what God called me to do. Wow! Jesus said that. He said just before he went to the cross, I've finished the work that the Father gave me to do on earth. That is how to live, brothers and sisters. What do you think? Absolutely. To live for God, know his will, do it with all your heart, without regret, despite all your weaknesses. God loves you and can use you. God is a good God, and he has a wonderful plan for your life. He wants to heal you and forgive you and change you and prosper you and bless you and use your life to help other people. You don't have to be a wreck. You don't have to live hating yourself and everyone else. There's a better way to live. Wasn't that girl brave getting up? What's her name again? Charlene. Well done, Charlene. It takes a bit of guts to get up here, doesn't it? And incidentally, I can't wear a skirt because of my knees as well. So you're in good company wherever you are. Well done, love. Brave. Wonderful thing to get up here. But a much better thing to get to know Jesus, isn't it? And it's not about a brilliant church, is it? Actually, it's about Jesus Christ. It's about coming to know Jesus. Then you'll have a life worth talking about. Absolutely phenomenal. Let's pray. Why don't you pray after me out loud? Nice and loud so I can hear you as well. Holy Spirit, thank you for being my teacher. I ask you now to bless me, to feed me, to enlighten my mind, to touch my spirit, to fill me with yourself. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a little round of applause. Just a little one. Little one. A big one should be, shouldn't it? And anyway, Paul says, I've fought a good fight. Christianity is a fight. Anyone agree? There is something to fight with and fight for every single day. It's not a breeze. It's not a boat ride down the Thames. It's not a stroll through a meadow. It is a fight, a battle, a fight. Why? Well, there's lots of reasons. I mean, just look up. Look up and see God in all of his glory and his perfection, and then see who you are and how far away you are from that. Do you think it's going to be an easy thing for you to be transformed, to become like Jesus? Actually, no, it isn't. It's a life of tests and trials and challenges. That's the truth. You have to fight for that. Then look down and see who's behind you. See who's under you. Satan himself. Satan is not happy that he's lost you when you become a Christian. He'll be at your heels all your life, trying to stop you from being effective as a Christian. Having already lost you for eternity, he's not happy. You must learn to fight him and overcome him. That is a battle. Then look around you, at the world around you. Is the world your friend? Is the world going to encourage you to follow Jesus? Is the world going to clap and applaud when you try and do the right thing? No, they don't, actually. If you follow Jesus, you go in the opposite direction of all the culture around you. The world is shouting at us all the time to live a certain way, live a certain way. And they're ever so tolerant with everyone until you're a Christian. And suddenly they're not tolerant anymore. They demand we be tolerant of, oh, you must be tolerant as long as you agree with everything we say. But the minute you don't, suddenly they're not tolerant. And you're like a little fishy swimming against all the other fish if you're a Christian. Jesus said it's a narrow way that goes to heaven. There's a broad way that leads to destruction, and most people are on it, he said. But there's a narrow way that leads to heaven. Follow me. Margaret said about it in communion. I am the way. You follow me, that's the way. There's only one way, him. You change and start following him, and boom, sorry, you're going against the flow. You're going to be battling the world every day for the rest of your life. Jesus said, listen, in this world, you will have trouble because I've called you out of the world and you don't belong to this world anymore. You belong to heaven. You belong to me. He said, I've called you out of the world, so in this world, you will have trouble. But cheer up, he said, because I've overcome the world. I've beat the world. You can beat the world. You can walk on water. The storms that take other people under, you can overcome them because of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. So be encouraged. If you go the way of the world, you're no friend of God. The Bible says friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God, actually. You agree with the world. You go with the world. That's not the way. We agree with Jesus. We go with Jesus. And we encourage other people to turn and follow him. Look around you. It's going to be a fight. Then look inside you. Is there going to be some fights because of issues in your life? You betcha. I fight several things every day. Three main enemies. The world, the devil, and the number one enemy. I hardly dare mention his name. He sends shivers down my spivers. He's my biggest problem. Martin Ruddick. He's a nightmare. Every time I go to the mirror, he's there. And all of his weaknesses and hang-ups and issues and selfishness and sin, and it's still alive in his body. This disease of sin is still alive in his body. It has to be overcome through the power of the Holy Spirit. It has to be subdued so that the life of God and the life of Jesus can victoriously flow through me. That's what the Apostle Paul, they fought every day. Every day in his list of sufferings, he says, God bless him. I've been shipwrecked 3 times. You want to read that list in Corinthians. I've been shipwrecked 3 times. I was in the open sea for a day and a night. Wow. He said, 5 times I received the 40 lashes minus one off the Jews. 5 times he was flogged, 39 times. 5 times. He says, twice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. He was stoned, I think, to death, actually. In Lystra, you can have a read of it. In Derby, in Lystra, when they were doing that tour, the Jews grabbed him and stoned him. And it says they dragged his body out the city because they thought he was dead, which in my mind, he probably was. They threw his body outside the city, and it says the disciples came and gathered round him. What do you think they were doing? And then it says he got up and went back into the city. That's a miracle. A miracle. And God bless him. He got up and went back in. He didn't say he got up and caught the 263 to Redcar. He didn't jump in a taxi heading the other direction. God bless that brave, awesome hero, Paul, one of our mighty leaders. He got up and went back in, and he gathered the people who became Christians in that mission, and he gave them some advice. He said this, we must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. That's what they did in their new believers' courses. They got them together and said, get ready for trouble. Enjoy. See you later. We must go through many hardships, brothers and sisters, to enter the kingdom of God. If you settle that early on, it will be a great strength to you. Listen to me, it will be a great strength to you. If you settle this early on, you must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom. Oh no, I thought it was going to be a good life. Yeah, it's the best life. It's a life with God, not without hardships, not without trouble, not without struggle, not without fight. Paul said, I have fought a good fight. Let me tell you what he wasn't fighting. He wasn't fighting for heaven, because heaven, salvation, is a gift that is given to you the moment you put your faith in Jesus. The moment Charlene put her trust in Jesus last week, that moment she receives from Jesus a gift that he bought her on the cross. That is eternal life in heaven. It's wonderful. It's like being in a boxing match, and before you even get in the ring, someone comes and gives you the belt. You've won. You're the world champ. Oh, great. Can I go home now? Oh, no, not sorry. The bell is just about to ring. You still have to fight, but you've won. No matter what you do, You've won. No matter how you perform in that ring, you've won. Church and discipleship and this kind of teaching and training is to try and help you to fight well. Heaven is a gift. Salvation is a gift from Jesus. We'd never be able to fight for that. You'd never achieve it. No one ever could. You receive it as a gift. But having got that belt, does anyone else not want to be battered every day like me? Does anyone else want to throw some knockout punches and knock Satan out the ring? I do. But I tell you, for that, Paul said, I'm not boxing, fighting the air. I discipline my body and I make it my slave. So that after I've preached to others, I myself won't fail. He wants to win. He wants to win. Anyone else want to win? Yes, you can win in this life. You can win. You don't have to be defeated every day, every week, in every relationship, in your family, in your finances, in your body. You can walk this world in victory, but not without a fight. You have to be willing to fight. You have to be willing to get up every day and pray and seek God and learn the lessons of discipleship that will enable you to win in this life, to love and forgive and be generous and be free from fear and overcome all the issues in your life. It's awesome. That's why Route 61 is important. Help you overcome. And then, you know, fight and never give up. Sometimes you get knocked down, you think, I can't get over this. Actually, you can. I wonder what Paul felt the fifth time he was getting strapped to that thing. He's been flogged 4 times. Now he's going to get flogged again. An innocent man. He was only human. He must have thought, oh, I can't do this. I can't do this again. God, I can't do this again. Have you ever been there? I can't do this again. Oh, God bless you who's just having little kids, all you young mums and dads. There's loads of kids being born, isn't there? God bless you. Where are you? Give me a little wave. Heroes, we love you. We're going to pray for you in a minute. Isn't it hard when you're getting up in the middle of the night with kids? Anyone remember it? And you think, anyone thought, I can't do this again? You just get into bed and hear a little, oh, please no, please no. And I love you, but I also want to send you like an American football to the other side of town right now because I'm exhausted. It's true. That's called life, brothers and sisters, and it's a battle. Or you have a terrible argument with your wife or your husband who you actually love very much. That's why it hurts so much. And you feel gutted all day. And you think, you know what? I'm not sure about this marriage. I'm not sure whether I've married the right man. And I only married him yesterday. I can't do this again. Actually, you can. You can. But not without Jesus. Not without the help of the Holy Spirit. Not without getting power from the Holy Spirit to love and forgive and help you. You have to fight, brothers and sisters. Fight and never give up. Amen? If you're willing to do that, then you'll do well. Our country would have been destroyed if it wasn't for 2 things. One thing, God gave us a prime minister who was a fighter. Winston Churchill, he was a fighter. He refused to give up, even when we'd lost. If you know the history of the Second World War, we had utterly lost and were on the brink of invasion. You know, you see these movies of the war as though we lost almost every battle and all ground over and over and over again to the point where we were on the brink of destruction. We had the last few Spitfires sent into the air. But Winston Churchill, bless him, he said, we'll never surrender. Never. If they invade, we'll fight on the beach. We'll fight them in the streets. We'll dig trenches. We'll fight to death, fight. What an awesome guy. Thank God for Winston Churchill. And the second reason was King George had the sense to cry out to Almighty God. And he got on the radio. You can Google it. It makes you weep. And he says, we have done everything we can do. And now all we can do is cry out to Almighty God to save us. I call upon all my subjects now to pray and to fast and to ask God to save us from this destruction. And that's what people did. The churches were packed. People fasted who'd never fasted. They prayed who'd never prayed. I remember hearing a testimony of an old woman who said, I remember that speech. And I remember my mum and dad, who weren't churchgoers, they switched the radio off, stood up, hugged each other. And they said, children, you need to go to bed. And as we were walking up the stairs, we looked in the front room and they were on their knees. God, God, save us. If you want to win in life, you're going to have to do that. You're going to have to do both. You're going to have to be determined to never, ever give up. And you're going to have to be determined to cry out to God. You can do it. You can't save yourself or your family or anyone else. But God can and will. And you know what? When they prayed, a mighty miracle happened. Hitler changed his mind, didn't he? If you know the history of Hitler, you know that he had a spirit guide who spoke to him and guided him and told him, a demon told him what to do next. And for the first time in his history, he went against the advice of his spirit guide that was saying, invade Britain. And he went to Russia. Oh, what a mistake. He turned all his troops to Russia. His generals were thinking, what the heck are you doing? He sent them all to Russia. And God sent the weather to wipe them all out. Yeah, it's true. He wiped them out in North Africa with the mighty sun. And you can read about how all the pipes carrying water all burst and broke, and that the armies in North America came to a grinding halt, and the Germans were getting out of their tanks with black tongues, dying of thirst. He sent the snow, an early winter. God uses the weather as his weapons, doesn't he? And he actually sent a mighty fog, an unusual fog, over the British Channel. You know, some of you know the story of this well. You read the history of it. An unusual fog for summer to get all the troops off the beaches under in fog. They couldn't see what was happening. Absolute miracle. Miracle. God saved our nation. How many of you believe it? God did. Not the Americans, bless them. Not ourselves for sure. God had mercy. What are we going to do with that mercy? That's the question. Now you've got your freedom and you're not eating German sausage and driving on autobahns. What are we going to do with this freedom? Are we going to reject God? Or are we going to seek him and follow him as a nation and fight for God? That's what we should be doing. Serving Almighty God. The second thing Paul said is, I have finished the race. Fantastic. I've finished it. Must be wonderful. I can't imagine, because I don't think I've ever been in a race, but I can't imagine what it must be like to finish a race. Tom, who does all these marathons and all that. By the way, the guys in Estonia, they're coming back this afternoon. They've had a fantastic time. They've seen 30 people saved in the last week. Is that good news? And they've seen many people healed, and they've also, some of you might have seen some of the services, they're streaming them live. And they've all the churches they were touching are seriously interested in coming to the Route 61 conference in Tallinn in the summer. So they had a fantastic, successful. Should we give Jesus a round of applause for that? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for hearing our prayers. Absolutely phenomenal. So those 10 guys are coming back this afternoon. And one of them's Tom, who was a marathon runner. And I wonder what it felt like for him when he finally finished those marathons. And absolutely, his body shattered, broken, yet finished. That's what the Apostle Paul must have felt. Finished, he said. Now there is in store for me. It's important to finish, isn't it? Not just begin. I've been a Christian for 30 odd years and I've seen many, many people. Me and Margaret have seen many people begin. Even begin well. Begin with fire and enthusiasm. Actually, do you know what? It doesn't impress us that much, because what we want to see is keep going. Keep going. Keep getting up, keep growing, keep going, because actually it's how you finish that matters. Many fall away, many give up. It's not an easy walk, but it's awesome to finish. D.L. Moody, keep praying for your family. Anyone here praying for someone who they'd like to be saved? Give me a little wave. Many of us are praying for family and those we love regularly for them to come to know Jesus. Don't give up. Keep praying right to the end. D.L. Moody, the famous American evangelist, prayed for 100 people. It's quite a lot. 100 people who he knew, family and friends who he knew by name. He tried to pray for them every day if he could. And he prayed for them all his life. By the time he died, 96 of them had become Christians. And the other 4 got saved at his funeral. They came to his funeral, heard about his life, and broke and gave their lives to Jesus. God answers our prayers. Don't give up. Keep praying. Keep believing. Keep trusting God, because you get those answers in the end if you keep going and don't give up. And then Paul says, I have kept the faith. It's an interesting thing. Something to fight for, something to run for, something to keep. He says, I've kept the faith. The word kept means to watch over, to preserve. And the word faith means it's pistis, it's conviction. It's a Greek word meaning conviction of anything actually that's true. You have a conviction about something that's true. It's interesting. Paul says, I've kept my conviction about what I believed at the beginning. That's important, isn't it? Brothers and sisters, keep your conviction about what you believe. Keep it. Watch over it. Preserve it. Many times people start believing something about church, and because they get hurt, they lose the conviction about it and they stop coming. They give up on church. And any of you with any nous knows that church saves your bacon in the end. Don't lose your conviction about the gospel. So many of us start with a conviction about the gospel because we were saved through someone sharing the gospel with us, through hearing the gospel or with someone witnessing to us. We know that people get saved. But as time goes on, we're sort of convinced by other things. And, well, I'll just love people, and love is the most important thing, and I'll shine my little light, and one day they might... No, brothers and sisters, you lose your conviction about the power of God in the actual word of God as you preach it and share it. You can lose your conviction in that very easy. Well, let's just heal people and then they'll want another God. No, not here, not in this church. We don't do that. We believe the gospel is the power of God and that it must be preached and that it must be spoken out of our mouths. That truth is absolutely supernatural. And we've seen it many times. Anyone got the time? What time is it? 10 to. Come on. Awesome. Got an hour left. This is going to be good. I was preaching once with Margaret, invited by this church to do a church weekend, actually. Wasn't actually an evangelistic do at all. In Sheffield, I think it was, Sheffield. Matlock Bible Place or something. Bible. I think it was Matlock. I think it was Sheffield. And we were there, and we were teaching. And one of the sessions, I thought, I'm going to speak about the cross. You know, the cross of Jesus on one session. So I had that in one morning session. And in that meeting, there was a dad there who'd been praying for his son to be saved for a long time. He'd split up from his wife and he didn't see his son very much. And then he'd become a Christian. He really wanted his son to become a Christian. He'd been praying for him. And because he was in Sheffield University, he said, look, I'm at this weekend with the church. Do you want to come? No, I don't want to come, Dad, weekend with the church. I'm not interested in all that stuff, Dad. You know, good for you, not for me, whatever. I'll meet you some other time. And the dad said, well, look, why don't you meet me at one of the coffee breaks? You know, they're doing different sessions in the weekend. There's a coffee break. We can get some time together. Or it might have been even lunch, I think. I can't remember now. Yeah, I think it was, over lunch. And anyway, he comes a little bit early. That was right. He came for the coffee break instead of lunch breaks. So there was another session. And somehow his dad persuaded him to come and sit in this meeting. I didn't even know he was there. I spoke about the cross of Jesus Christ, which is the good news. The good news that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, rose again so we could be justified, and we can go to heaven. And even though I knew it was full of Christians, for some reason I felt the Holy Spirit moving me to ask people to respond. I said, you know, just in case, I said, there's lots of people here today, and I'm not sure if you're all Christians. You probably are. You all go to the church. But listen, if you would like to go to heaven And this lad, he told me later, he sat through that meeting and thought, oh, don't agree with that. Don't agree with that. No, no way. Don't believe that. Don't believe that. Don't believe that. I said, if you would like to go to heaven and have your sins forgiven and know Jesus Christ for real, lift up your hand. His hand, whoosh, went straight up. He told me later, I watched it going up. I thought, what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? He said, my hand got to up, right up. He said, and when it did, light and truth burst over me. And I absolutely knew that this was true, that this was real. And he burst out in tears. He was saved. He was born again. I only got the story later. I walked out of the meeting and I saw this guy and his son laughing under these trees, jumping around, hugging each other, laughing, crying. I thought, what are they on? And later I realized they were on Jesus. They were buzzing with the shock of being saved. The gospel is supernaturally powerful. When you share this truth, it is the truth. And you can sit there and think, I don't believe it. I'm going to get saved. Because it appeals to your spirit, to the spirit of man. And though his mind says no, and though his mind all his life has been full of lies and brainwashed by this world, that there isn't a God, that it's a load of rubbish, that it's a load of freaks, that it's fanatical, all that rubbish isn't as powerful as the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel is the power of God and it works. Hallelujah. Don't lose your conviction about healing. Don't lose your conviction about these things, because God knows best and he absolutely loves you. Let's stand. Why don't you open your hands to the Lord and receive from him strength, life, energy. He's a good God, and anything you need, you can ask him for right now. If it's that salvation, then receive it as a gift. Jesus loves you, he died for you. If it's physical healing, if it's strength to overcome, Lord, Holy Spirit, I ask you to fill every person in this room right now with your light, truth, healing, power. I ask you to preserve the truth that you've put in people's hearts, that they wouldn't give up, that they wouldn't stop running till they're finished, and they'd know when they were finished. And until then, they'd forget what lies behind, focus ahead, and run with all of their might. Lord, we want to pray right now for all the young mums and young dads in this church. Lord, God bless them. Bless them. Lord, literally bless them now. Strengthen them, encourage them. We ask you that all these little Amazing Grace babies would sleep. Lord, give them phenomenal sleepers and eaters. Give strength and grace to the mums and dads. Give them love for each other as well. So easy to attack each other when you get exhausted. Lord, help them stand together to get through this beautiful thing, actually. It's a beautiful thing, but it is something to get through. It's a challenge of life. Bless them and encourage them. We pray for every mum and dad who's got teenage kids who are walking away and struggling and they're worried for them. Lord, we pray for peace for them right now. That you give them peace and they would pray and trust you and they would love those kids unconditionally. Holy Spirit, we pray right now for people who are struggling financially. If you're struggling financially, just lift your right hand to the Lord to receive something from him right now. Lord, we ask you to pay bills in the name of Jesus. We ask you to pay bills, to bring jobs, promotions, businesses, prosperity, success, new ideas, freedom from debt. In the name of Jesus, break every debt and every curse of debt. Thank you, Jesus, that you became poor so we can become rich by your grace. And we ask you that there'd be great wealth in this place, wealth that flows out to others, but that comes through this place. Thank you, Jesus. And we thank you for each other in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Just be seated a minute. I just want to say one more thing to you. Any advance on three? I've got 2 minutes, so I'm going to use them. One thing is, I wanted to speak to you about the Connect group and this group that it's a new thing that we're starting. We used to do vision days when we started the church quite regularly and vision nights. We don't have the time to do that anymore. So we're doing things in small groups. This month of June, we're beginning all sorts of small groups, which we'll tell you about next week because we're finalizing them tomorrow. But we'll tell you about that next week and the week after. And then in June, we're going to start different small groups that you can attend if you'd like to. But that Connect group is unique because it's for people who are coming here and want to find out about the church. And there's two ways to really become part of us. One is to do Route 61 course, which starts in September. If you want to know the heart of what we're about at our ministry, you need to do Route 61. But do you know what? It's not enough. I've noticed people joining our church do Route 61. Actually, if they haven't understood the vision, they don't fully get us. They don't fully get who we are and who we're not, what we do and what we don't do. And you know what? We're pretty distinctive as a church. We're pretty clear about what God's told us to do. We know that, but do you? You need to know that. Do you know why? I mean, you're welcome to come here every Sunday. That's wonderful. But if you want to get part of the action and really go to the ends of the earth with us and develop your ministry and your gifts, which is what we really want, then you need to really understand some of me and Margaret, our history, what God said to us, the senior team, what God has said to us, what we're going for, what makes us different from the other movements and other churches. You need to know that because you need to know what number's on the bus. If you really want to go to the Lake District and we're going to Redcar, you need to know that. Because what happens is later you're looking out the window saying, this isn't the Lake District. And then we have to say to people, we're never going to the Lake District. And you need to know for who you are. You need to know who the leaders are. You need to know what we do, what we don't, our values, how we live as a community. Anyone think that's important? It's massively important. So that after Route 61, when you start to minister, you don't hit issues with us, because you will. You'll be going a different way from us. That does happen sometimes. Or we pull people up about certain things, and they say, oh, well, I didn't know. And actually, God bless them, you know what? They didn't know. Here's a chance to know. I'm going to those Connect groups. You can ask me anything. The political history of Bulgaria, you can ask me all about that. I don't know anything about that. But you can ask me anything you want, and I'll tell you the truth. We're straight talkers here. I'll tell you the truth of what we think, where we are, where we're going, what we believe, what we do with money, what we do with time, I'll tell you. So you can decide whether you really want to be part of us or not. And if you do, that's awesome. Then do Route 61. So is that a good sell? I want to encourage you to do those Connect groups if you're coming into the church. Very important. Unless you're like a brand new believer. To be honest, if you're just a brand new Christian, what you need to do is Alpha. In September, the Alpha course, understand the basics of Christianity, and then we have new believers, small groups. But if you're coming from another church, which you're awesomely welcome, you know, one of the things that God said to me when we were starting this church was that many people would come from all different places, some broken, some depressed, some in debt, some hurting, and God's going to make you into a phenomenal army for him. That's what he's doing. But that takes a bit of healing. He's doing it with us all. It's very important. Being healed is a very important part of who we are. I said to the leaders when we started the church, I sent them all on courses to get healed in their heart more. And then we do Route 61 regularly ourselves. Why? Because I said to them, the most important thing you can give to this church is yourself sorted out. That's the truth. You can be a minister and leader and think you have all sorts to give the world. But unfortunately, it comes through the filter of you. And often that filter massively diminishes the glory of God because of your own weaknesses and issues. You see, those people... So